this is an exciting time for us, especially with all the building construction, making sure that we have schools ready for students on day one.
And besides the Riverview School, which we'll talk about in a bit, have there been other construction projects for other schools?
Glenwood Springs Elementary is almost a brand new school. We're using the historic old main building. I was just by there yesterday, and it's been completely gutted. You can see right through the windows from the front to the back. That one will be ready for occupancy in the start of the school year, but it won't be completed until January of 2018. All of our middle schools are getting major renovations and updates. Basalt High School is getting a major renovation. We're getting playgrounds and other improvements at Soperus Elementary. Bridges High School is getting a complete renovation. And then we've done some other, I guess I'd call it housekeeping. We've improved our security, so there's now a secure vestibule with a welcome window in every school in the school district. And then we have two new transportation facilities to make sure that we take care of our transportation equipment.
And then the housing that's going to be put up as well.
We just broke ground about a week ago on 21 units of staff housing right here on 3rd Street in Carbondale. And we also have some units in Willits that will be ready for occupancy in September, and in Ironbridge and further down Valley and Cardiff, that should be ready for occupancy early 2018. So all told, we'll have 61 or 62 units of staff housing.
Is enrollment increasing significantly as well?
Enrollment is pretty steady right now. There was a baby bust starting in 2008 after the recession. So we see sort of flat enrollment for the next year or so, and then we'll see it increasing again. That's just birth rates. Of course, there's a lot of new development in the Valley, and there are more people moving in. So we do anticipate in 3 to 5 years to start to see a significant uptick in school enrollment. The reason we're building the new school at Riverview is because we were already bursting at the seams at our elementary and middle schools in Glenwood Springs. We had modular units with students going to classes in trailers and overcrowded facilities. Cafeterias didn't have capacity. And we like our schools to be more intimate learning communities. So we don't think it's appropriate for an elementary school to have 700 students. Our sweet spot is probably 400 to 500, 600 max.
And the decision to make it bilingual, is that something that you want to incorporate in the other public schools as well, or do you feel like parents who maybe resonate with that more will go specifically to that school?
We as a school district really want to listen to the community and give them the school that they want. So when we started working on the building of the actual physical facility, we also hired a principal to start designing the program. And his charge, Adam Volek, was to reach out and engage community stakeholders, students, families, people who lived around the school, and ask them what kind of school they wanted for their kids. And they did a lot of investigation of different models, and they decided that they wanted a dual language project-based learning program. So that was really a request by the community, and our board said yes. Both project-based learning and dual language programming are very responsive to the needs of our students and communities.
And how many students will Riverview have?
I think we have about 345 students enrolled today at Riverview. The school itself is built for a capacity of over 450. The property itself is large enough for two schools. So thinking farther down the road, 10, 20 years, that may end up being a two-building campus.
Are there going to be accommodations for the traffic around the bridge closure?
Planning for the bridge closure has been a full-time job for many of us in the school district, for the city, for the state, for the hospitals. And yes, we have been making plans and accommodations. I think the most creative idea is what we've called the walking school bus, because the big bottleneck is actually anywhere we have to cross the river. We're using pedestrian bridges, and we're driving school buses to one side of the bridge and then having adults escort students to walk across. One of the things that we've been doing now that the bridge is down is actually running virtual bus routes to make sure that our routes were accurate. I think the biggest remaining concern is that people need to put their kids on the bus. If everybody drives their kids to school, then that could create gridlock for workers, for schools, and for public transit. So my big hope is that people take advantage of the opportunity to ride the school bus to get their kids to school on time.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.